In his new book, Pete Rose, An American Dilemma, Kostya Kennedy maintains that 25 years after being banished from baseball, the game's all-time hits leader still, quote, stirs uncommon passion, righteousness, and indignation. And the author speculates about what drove the hit king to greatness and to his demise. Kostya Kennedy joins me from NPR's New York Bureau. Welcome to Only a Game.
Wonderful to be here, Bill.
You characterize Pete Rose as Cincinnati's everyman. What qualifies him for that distinction?
Oh, well, he is the most beloved figure in Cincinnati. He grew up on the west side of Cincinnati, right by the banks of the Ohio. Pete, he'll treat you the same whether you're a janitor or whether you own the building. You know, he's completely, he cuts across all socioeconomic classes, and he's a little roguish, and yeah, he likes to gamble a little bit.
You write of what you term Pete's keen affection for money, which may be an understatement. He's always looking for opportunities to get more, quote, serious cake. Is the reason that he got so heavily into gambling, including gambling on baseball, that simple?
Well, I mean, there was a guy very close to him named Charles Soto, who's a memorabilia dealer who appears in the Dowd Report and has known Pete forever. And he said, you know, Pete doesn't even really have a gambling problem. He has a cash problem. It's like he wakes up every day and, where can I get cash? How can I get it? And no question it related to his gambling and his association with various people who were involved in gambling and who had money moving around.
Rose's popularity was predicated to a great extent on what you call the public's reverence for hustle. Do you see the hustle Rose displayed on the field and his apparent compulsion to gamble on everything, including the baseball team he was managing, as two sides of the same coin?
Not exactly. I mean, I think that there is an intensity about Pete which needs to be satisfied. When he was managing, he would leave the stadium and he'd go to a bar and watch the evening games from the West Coast because he had money on them. And it was all sort of a continuation of the same intensity. So he did in that way need to satisfy that in playing and in gambling. But I do think that the commitment to baseball, you know, that sported the love of Pete's life even more than gambling, even more than any personal relationship.
People still argue, of course, about whether Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, though he's not eligible for election, thanks to a rule invented specifically to keep him out. Is that fair to Pete Rose?
You know, you look at Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens, they are getting 35-40% of the vote. You need 75% to get in. They may never get in, but at least they're being judged. Pete never had that, and he is literally the only player ever to be denied this chance. Even Shoeless Joe Jackson, who of course was banned himself for his involvement in the 1919 World Series, he was eligible to be elected from the beginning of the Hall of Fame in the 1930s right through the Pete Rose rule was put in 1991. And he wasn't elected, but he might have been. To me, that is the most troubling thing, that a rule was made specifically to keep one person out.
You maintain toward the end of Pete Rose, An American Dilemma, that the argument over whether he should be in the Hall of Fame may be more beneficial to Rose than actual election to the Hall would be. How so?
Well, he even once said to me, he said, being barred from the Hall of Fame, that's my shtick. you know, he had this sort of outlaw hero quality, right? And people feel that an injustice had been done to him. In fact, some memorabilia say that him getting into the Hall of Fame in some way that would just take away that edge, which he certainly has and keeps him in discussion after all this time.
You characterize Pete Rose's life, and I'm quoting now, as remarkable, original, powerful, and wholly American. I'm curious about that. How is the way that Rose has lied about his gambling over the years and cheated on his taxes necessarily original or wholly American?
Well, I think I'm saying that in context of his whole life. You know, again, growing up, certainly not the most talented kid. I mean, you know, here's a player who made all these All-Star games and all-time hit king. Nothing like the talent of greats like Mays and Cobb and Mantle and such like that. He got there by hard work. And his whole bristle and his whole way of going about things, there's a certain arrogance to him, which I think is an American hubris. You know, it's not that Americans are the only one with it, but it's clearly a characteristic of being an American. And not only that, I mean, you know, Bill, doesn't an American story today have to just end in Las Vegas? I mean, that is about as an American creation as one can get. And, of course, that's where Pete is most of the time now, signing his autographs. You know, even today, if Pete walks into a room with a lot of other Hall of Famers, and you see this sometimes in Cooperstown, everybody wants to go up and talk to Pete. You know you're going to get 5 great minutes of Pete. You're going to get a good joke. He has a razor-sharp memory for some incident on a field, and you'll share that time. Everybody you speak to loved him at the ballpark, and pretty much nobody you speak to, you know, knew about his other life or participated into a life away from baseball. Sparky Anderson has said, you'll never know Pete completely. You can't know him. And I think that there's that line that was something that I really tried to fight over and fight through to understand this man that a lot of people have felt they can't cross.
Kostya Kennedy is the author of Pete Rose, An American Dilemma. Kostya, thank you very much for speaking with me.
I enjoyed being on with you, Bill. Thank you.
The great American ballpark, where the sun shines all day. Now I'm walking down Riverside, down the Pete Rose Way.
Given the Hall of Fame votes Roger Clemens, Mark McGwire, and Barry Bonds have garnered, is it time for Major League Baseball to banish the rule it made to exclude Pete Rose from enshrinement at Cooperstown? Please visit facebook.com/onlyagameradio and make your argument.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The Music Emporium, for 45 years offering collectible boutique and vintage acoustic guitars. TheMusicEmporium.com. And Eton, offering the American Red Cross radio line a portable solar-powered radio with cell phone charger and flashlight for emergencies or travel. Now at Radio Shack. This is NPR.
Here's a spring training story. Last week, Boston Red Sox second baseman Dustin Pedroia received the fielder's glove that had been custom-made for him by the man the players call the Jedi Master of Baseball Gloves, Shigeki Aso. Pedroia was described as being happy as a kid on Christmas. Last year, Mr. Aso adjusted Pedroia's glove so that the infielder could continue to play with an injured thumb. Pedroia acknowledges that he was amazed by Mr. Aso's quick and precise craftsmanship. Dustin Pedroia won a gold glove last year. His team won the World Series. That really happened, right? Tell me it wasn't all a Jedi mind trick.